So today, we're continuing to talk about life on the treadmill. We began this message series together last week, and we began by stating the fact that you are not meant to spend your whole life on a treadmill, right? You are not made to keep going and going and going all the time. In fact, God created us to rest. Indeed, God modeled that for us himself. God himself took a rest on the seventh day of creation after he had created all things. He took a rest, and we can read that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. That's from Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And as we looked at this, as we unfolded all these things last weekend together, we talked about good works. We talked about the lives of service that we are all called to live as people who know Jesus. And we said that growing in faith and good works is really good, right? It's something we want to do. But we want to do that for the right reason. We want to grow in faith and good works not because that's somehow earning our salvation, and not because it brings us closer to God, not because it makes our salvation and our relationship with Jesus more sure somehow. It's not because knowing Jesus is all about doing things. We want to grow in faith and good works because we recognize that we are new creations in Christ. We are saved by faith, and now, Paul told us last week, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand, which he created in advance for us to do. So we want to grow because we recognize that that is the work the Holy Spirit is doing in us, and we want to be part of it. And there's a rhythm to this. We talked about this. Sometimes we run on the treadmill. We strive to improve ourselves and our obedience to the Lord, and sometimes we simply rest. We recognize that we can't actually live up to God's standards. No one can. No one except Jesus. So we recognize that, and we rest in the forgiveness that Christ won for us. So this week, we're looking at another way that we tend to keep ourselves on the treadmill. And this is really all about how we read Scripture. This is about how we read the Bible. And just to keep this interesting, so I'm not the only one talking, I'm going to give you some examples of this mistake, I'll call it, and I'll see if you can spot what the mistake is. So for example, here are some messages that I could preach. I could do that, but I don't. Because they wouldn't help us to learn to read Scripture well. So see if you can figure out what these have in common. There's four of them. One could be the story of Cain and Abel. We talked about that, right? The story of Cain and Abel, how to present an acceptable sacrifice. One could be Noah, how to obey when God tells you to do something crazy. How about Abraham, how to trust in the impossible promise. Or King David, maybe, how to apply seven leadership principles in your life. How about that one? What do all these have in common? Any thoughts? Well, someone said faith, but that's actually the opposite of what I'm going for. Any other thoughts? The sin. Well, it's how-to, right? It's instructions for life. All of these messages would be a how-to message. And it's important for us to realize that we often do this to ourselves. We often keep ourselves on the treadmill. We don't allow ourselves to rest in God's grace. We keep ourselves on the treadmill when we read the Bible like it's a how-to book. We keep ourselves on the treadmill when we look at Scripture and we see only instructions. And we do this because we like instructions. You know, we like these. We like to feel like we can do something. We like to feel accomplished. And it's actually kind of hard for us to receive God's grace. It's hard for us to admit that our lives of faith ultimately aren't about what we do for the Lord. Grace is kind of scary for us because it depends totally on God. Instructions are comfortable because if we just have some instructions, then, well, if we have some commands to work on, then we can measure ourselves. We can look and say, well, we're working hard and we're seeing some improvement. I'm doing a little bit better today than I was yesterday. But the problem is that when we read the Bible only as a book of instructions, we totally miss the gospel. In the first place, we have to confront the fact that we really can't keep all of God's instructions, right? All have fallen short, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But more than that, when we read the Bible as a how-to book, we keep ourselves on the treadmill because we're looking at Scripture and all we see is one instruction after another, one thing to do after another. But that's not how the writer of the Hebrews read his Bible. Let's go to Scripture. Our Scripture today was from Hebrews chapter 11. You can find that in your bulletin in the center page, or we'll have it on the screens as well. And this is a really wonderful portion of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. I actually wanted to read the whole thing today for our Scripture reading, but it's kind of long, and I wasn't sure we'd all pay attention the whole time, so we cut it down. So Hebrews chapter 11, we often hear this chapter of the Bible referred to as maybe the Hall of Faith or Heroes of Faith, because what's happening here is we're really skimming across the whole sweep of biblical history, Old Testament history, and we're looking at all these iconic people and events, and we're recognizing that what's important about each of these people is not what they did. What's important for us, what's important about each of these people is the faith that they had in God's promises. And so what's important for us today is to see how these stories can encourage us and strengthen us in our own faith, strengthen our faith in the promises that Jesus has made to us. So we start in verse 1 by saying that faith is confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and faith is assurance of what we don't see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is what all these old stories are about. And so when we move on to the creation in verse 3, what's important for us to read in the creation story? Well, if we pay attention here, it's that we understand. It's that we understand that God created all things by speaking. It's that we have confidence in the fact that God is the creator, even though that's not something we can test. Even though we can't go back and examine it and evaluate it and assure ourselves that that's really what happened. We believe it by faith. And just as an aside, I want to say this because the creation story is so often attacked in our culture today. This doesn't mean that we're supposed to have blind, unthinking faith. In fact, the word that we translate here is understand, the faith that by faith we understand this. That actually means that we've given it careful thought. We've thought it through. We've examined it with reason, and we've concluded that trusting God's word in this regard, trusting God's word concerning the creation is actually the most reasonable thing we can do. It actually doesn't make sense to try to figure it out on our own. But let's go on. So then we see Cain and Abel. You may remember this story. Two brothers who both brought sacrifices before God. God accepted one brother's sacrifice, that was Abel, and he rejected the other, and that was Cain's. And why did he do that? Well, it wasn't because Abel's sacrifice was a better sacrifice. God accepted one brother's sacrifice because one brother had faith in the God that he was sacrificing to. Then we read about Noah. We read about Noah who built a huge boat in the middle of the desert. What's important about Noah was that he trusted the word of God. He had faith. He trusted the warning and he had faith to obey. And we read about Abraham going on. Abraham, whom God called out of his homeland, whom God told to go to a faraway land. And God promised him that he would have land and descendants there. So Abraham went. He had faith, and he settled in that distant land. And then we skip this middle portion of the chapter going on from verse 12 and on. But if we had read this, we would hear about all these names, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab, all these people who were heroes in Scripture. We would have heard about the judges of Israel, people like Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and maybe some of us have never even heard of those names before. There's people like King David and Samuel, all the prophets whom God sent to speak to his people. And all of these people, we read, lived by faith. All of these people lived by faith, and so we don't remember them for what they did. We don't remember them for their great acts, their courage, their amazing deeds. We remember these people because of who they trusted. They trusted in the Lord God, who created us, who provides for us, and who draws us close to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And because we remember all these people for their faith more than we remember them for their actions, that means that the purpose of these people in Scripture, the purpose of all these stories we read, really isn't, first and foremost, it isn't to point us towards God's commands for our lives. The purpose of these stories isn't to, first and foremost, to give us instruction. Instead, each of these people's stories point us towards what? It's the promises of God. The promises of God. The promises in which each of them trusted. And today, we now know that all of these promises have been fulfilled in one man, Jesus Christ. In chapter 11, verse 39, we read that all of these, that is all these people, these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So here's the point. All of these heroes of faith trusted in the promises of God, yet none of them got to see the promise fulfilled, so they lived by faith. And so when we read Scripture and we read the stories of Noah and Abraham and Moses and King David, and even looking forward to the New Testament, Jesus himself, the apostles, all these other people, what are we supposed to get out of these stories? First and foremost, we're supposed to see how God is working his plan of salvation throughout history. And in the lives of biblical heroes, we see how God has worked to connect himself to his people. We see how God has come near to us, to forgive us, to give us life and renewal and healing and redemption and all of these things. We see how God incorporates individuals like you and me. We see how God makes us part of his big story of salvation. And so all of these little stories of Scripture, all these promises that God made to each of these people, all these little stories and all these promises really point us to one man, Jesus Christ. And in fact, all of these promises point us to Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. Because it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that all of God's promises to us are fulfilled. It's through Jesus' death and resurrection that Abel's sacrifice way back when, it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that Abel's sacrifice was made acceptable before the Lord. It's through Jesus' death and resurrection that Noah and his family were spared from the flood. It's through Jesus' death and resurrection that Abraham was given descendants too numerous to count. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that all of God's promises to you are fulfilled as well. So when you read the Bible, when you read the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samuel, David, Solomon, Ruth, and Esther, and Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and Mary, and Joseph, and Jesus himself, Matthew, and John, and Luke, and Paul, and Barnabas, and Mark, and all these other guys and women, those are just a few off the top of my head. I actually looked this up. I Googled it, and I found one resource. Don't quote me on this. It said there's actually about 3,200 individual people mentioned in the Bible. Fun fact. So when you read these stories, the stories of all these people, the first thing you should be looking for is the promise of God. The first thing we should be looking for is the gospel, because our faith really begins and our faith ends with God's promise. Look for the promises of God and look for how those promises are fulfilled in Jesus, because Scripture, the book we have, that God has given to us, it's really not about instruction. It's about the promise. Now, I want to say one thing. I have to say this because we'll continue to talk about this as we go through this series of Life on the Treadmill, but I have to say yes, actually. The Bible really does contain some commands for you. It does contain instructions. It tells us how to live. For example, God has given us the Ten Commandments. We can look at Moses and the prophets and Jesus himself. They all tell us how to live, and that's a good thing. As Lutherans, we call that all that stuff the law, right? God's commands for us, and it instructs us. It sometimes keeps us from doing bad stuff, and sometimes it condemns us when we recognize that we fall short of God's standard. The law is good for us. It's a good thing when we learn to live as God has made us to live. But ultimately, those instructions, those commands, they only matter to us because God has already included us in his promise. God has already made us part of the work of Christ. So as Christians now, we do good works. We follow all the instructions. We look for God's instructions not to earn our place with the Lord. We look for God's instructions because we want to live as people for whom God's promise is real. Jesus changes us, and we want to live lives that reflect him. We want to participate in God's promises and share them with everyone around us. So, as we're talking about life on the treadmill, know this, that Scripture helps you get off the treadmill when you pay attention to the promises of God in Scripture. And we as God's people, first and foremost, we're people of the promise, God's promise. We're not people of the treadmill. So to us, the Bible is more than just instruction for life. To us, Jesus is more than just a model. Jesus is more than just an example on how to live. Jesus is more than just a teacher. To us, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And Jesus' word to us is hope. Jesus' word to us is comfort and rest. Jesus' word to us is life itself. Amen. Let's all stand.